Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Pei Gimel and Aleph. Just to get some background before we do the first line in the Gemara, we just have to remember what we saw yesterday and do some quick calculations. The Mishnah yesterday told us what the measurement of Shtei Seudot are. Machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka taught us that a Sela can purchase 4 Sa'a. So that taught us, we know that a Sela is 4 dinar, a dinar is 6 ma'a, and a ma'a is 2 pundion, which means that a Sela is the equivalent of 48 pundion. And with that, you can purchase 4 Sa'a. 4 Sa'a, each Sa'a gives you 6 kav, or 4 Sa'a would be 24 kav. With a 48 pundion, you can actually purchase 24 kav, or in other words, you get half a kav for each pundion. So based on that, he says that your shtei seudot are the kikar, the bread you can buy for a pundion, which would be half a kav. So according to him, a half a kav equals shtei seudot. We saw yesterday that we had issues with that because we said that Krovim, that his word to Rabbi Shimon's word are very close. And the Gemara says they're nowhere near each other. So the Gemara brings in Rav Chista to teach us that part of what you give is to the chenvani, and you keep a part of it. The first we start with the shlish, and then we concluded with chetzi, which means that when you start out with a half a kav, instead of getting 2 sudot after that half a kav, you're really going to get 4 sudot after that half a kav. Or if it's a kav, according to the way we were learning before, a kav would give you 4 sudot. In the truth, a kav gives you 8 sudot. Because it's double what you thought, because 50% of it's going to be given to the baker, and you're going to keep 50%. So if we want to get to the point where half a kav gives you 2 sudot, we have to double the amount of sudot that are really embedded inside of a kav or half a kav. So that means in the end, and that's what we concluded yesterday, that for one kav, you get 8 sudot. Now, if you do it with a baker, you only get half of that, so you'll end up with 4 sudot. But if you do it at home, you would have one kav would give you 8 sudot. So now, based on that, if you took 2 sudot, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, it would be produced by a quarter of a kav. A quarter of a kav would produce 2 sudot, since a whole kav produces 8 sudot. So a quarter of a kav will produce 2 sudot. Again, ignoring the baker. That is the equivalent of 6 beitzah, 6 beitzim, because a kav equals 24 beitzim. A kav equals 4 log, and every log equals 6 beitzim, so that's 24 beitzim. So if you take a kav equal to 24 beitzim, and a quarter kav now, according to Reb Shimon, Alpi Reb Chista, that you give chetzi to the baker, tells you that a quarter kav gives you 2 sudot. That means a quarter kav, which is equal to 6 beitzim, gives you the 2 sudot. That is the shtei sudot that we're talking about in the Mishnah. Chetzia, we said in the Mishnah, is the bayit ha-menuga. Half of that amount will be the size of the loaf of bread that you need to eat in order to stay inside of a house that has nigaim in order to be tamei. So half of that would be an eighth of a kav, or the equivalent of 3 beitzim. Chetzi chetzia, a half of that, again, another half, that's half of half, which is a 16th of a kav, or the equivalent of 1.5 beitzim, is what the Mishnah says, lifsolet agvia. That's what, if you consume tamei food of that amount, then it makes your body tamei. Just to note, Rabbeinu Tam here notes that that gzeirah is a very early gzeirah, not from the 18 things that are in the Gemara and Shabbat. He mentioned this, we did this when we did in the Gemara and Shabbat. Over there it sounds like it's part of the Yudchet Dvarim, that when you eat. But over here it's found in the Mishnah, which is seems to be much earlier than those gzeirot. So he says that there were stages in the gzeirot. And this is the earlier part of the gzeirah, that when you consume it, 1.5 beitzah, we're going to see later, 2 beitzim, that's when you became tamei. The Yudchet Dvar says even with the beitzah, you possibly could become tamei and tumat maga. It added on additional aspects to that gzeirah. So that's the gzeirah of tumat gvia. Then the Gemara today is going to say chetzi, chetzi, chetzia, which means 3 times you're going to take it down a half, is lifsolat ochlim, the tamei at ochlim. That is, the amount of ochel, if it was together, that would be metamei other items. The kabetza worth of ochel is metamei other items. So again, if I take that in half, that's 1/32 of a kav, or the equivalent of 3/4 of a beitza. That is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's shita. Again, this will help us when we start the Gemara, we'll be able to move through it much faster. Rabbi Shimon's shita. Rabbi Shimon's shita is that a kav produces 9 seudot. 3 kikarot. 3 loaves of bread that are 9 seudot. That means that each loaf of bread produces 3 seudot. He said 2/3 of a loaf of bread is your shtei seudot. which is basically two ninths of a ka'av, will give you what you need for shtosh, for your shteisu udot. Now, the way he calculates it, and in our Mishnah he does this, is that he says two-thirds of a loaf is equal to shteisu udot. But then when he calculates the chetziah, and chetziah, he uses a full loaf of bread. So that means, in a full loaf of bread, we know that a ka'av gives you three loaves, which is nine sudot. A one kikar is equal to a third of a ka'av, or the equivalent of three sudot. So now, if I want to take chetziah from that amount for Rabbi Shimon, then I would take a third of a ka'av and cut it in half. So if I take a third of a ka'av and cut it in half, a third of a ka'av is equal to eight beitzim. We said before that a ka'av is equal to 24 beitzim. If you divided it by three, because it's a third of a ka'av, you'll get eight beitzim. When he cuts it in half, he gets a sixth of a ka'av, or four beitzim. That is the case for bayit hamnuga in our Mishnah. Then, chetzi chetzi alifsolat agviyah is another half of that, which is 1/12 of a ka'av, or the equivalent of two beitzim, and that is lifsolat agviyah. Then, chetzi chetzi chetziah, which is tumat ochlim, will then be 1/24 of a ka'av, or the equivalent of one beitzah. And for Tumat Ochlim, Rabbi Shimon believes it's one Beitzah. Basically, that is the Shita that we find throughout Shas. Throughout Shas, the Gemara always mentions for Tumat Ochlim that Kebeitzah is the measurement. That's Lefi Shita to Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara is going to mention this fact that Chetzi, Chetzi, Chetziah, what are the positions of Rabbi Yochanan ben Roka and Rabbi Shimon, which we just calculated so we can go through it quickly. The second question the Gemara wants to know is, then why was it included in the Mishnah? I mean, the Mishnah includes everything that's moving down the line. Why didn't the Gemara include these two measurements, which would be Chetzi, Chetzi, Chetziah for Rabbi Yochanan ben Roka, or 3/4 of a Beitzah? And for Rabbi Shimon, again, Chetzi, Chetzi, Chetziah would be one Beitzah, which would be, again, for Tumat Ochlim. Why isn't that mentioned in the Mishnah? So that's the beginning of the Gemara today. Tana. V'chetzi, chetzi, chetziah. And so that's a half, times a half, times a half, or the equivalent of 1/8. L'tamei Tumat Ochlim. That is to convey Tumat Ochlim. It is a machloket b'di Rishonim. Most Rishonim believe that Tumat Ochlim means a kabeitza is what you need to pass Tumat to other items. To accept Tumat, even a koshu of ochel can be mekabel Tumat. There are some places where Reino Tam and Rashi discuss the issue of whether it's only a kebeitza that can accept tumat ochlim, and it's a machloket. You see, every time this comes up in Shas, they mention this issue of whether it's about accepting tumat or conveying tumat. But we'll go with the simple explanation, which means you need kebeitza to convey tumat and koshu to accept tumat. V'tana didan, my time alotani tumat ochlim. Why didn't he just put in tumat ochlim? He could add another line in the Mishnah, which would have said, chetzi, 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 ala tamei tumat ochlim. And it would be nice, fit in very nicely. So he says, mishom to shabu shirai lehadodi. Because their measurements, their amounts are not equal. Now that's not because Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Roka are not equal. They're not equal all the way along. Because start with a different measurement. They started with a kav equaling 9 sudot for Rabbi Shimon, and a kav equaling 8 sudot for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. By definition, you're going to have a difference between them all the way down the line. What it means is that they're not shavei l'shirei l'hadadi, is because then it comes down to a beitzah. And when they look at what a kebeitza is, turns out that it doesn't seem to match up to what we're saying over here. Tatan, you have a braita. Kama shiur chatzi pras. What is the shiur of half a pras? Now, a pras is already half. So, chatzi pras means half of a half, or the equivalent of what we said, chetzi chetziah, in our Mishnah. So, chetzi chetziah for Yochanan ben Broka would be 1.5 beitzim, and for Rabbi Shimon, that would be 2 beitzim. So, the bright over here says, bet beitzim chaser kima divir Rabbi Yehuda. It's 2 beitzim minus a little bit. Rabbi Yossi omer, bet beitzim sochakot. Sochakot from skok. So in the word to laugh, to smile. Shochakot, because of the way that you hold your fingers. When you have a tefach, and if you open up the fingers versus closing the fingers, one of them makes it look like you have a smiley face, and that's shochakot, is laughing, and metzumtzamot, or when they are closed up, or it, there the Gemara calls it maybe a tzuvot, which is at a sad face. So it's a happy face or a sad face, so it's the word sochek, or lischok. So Rabbi Yossi says, bet beitzim sochakot, whether it's full or means expanded, or a little more, the larger beitzim. So shi'er Rebbe, beit beitzim va'od. So Rebbe went ahead and measured it, and it turns out to be 2 beitzim and a little more. Kama va'od. What is a little more? Echid me'isrim be'beitza. That's 1/20 of a beitza. So if a beitza plus a 20th is what turns out to be what the equivalent of what we're measuring. So what turns out here, what's happening is that as you come down the measurements, they're measuring everything in relationship to a kav and to the shtei sudot or to the loaves of bread. So fine, when you're in the mission, that all works out. The problem comes when you get down to the lowest denominator, which we're saying the tamei tumat tochlim. And there we're measuring it in a beitza, which we know, kebeitza is the tamei tumat tochlim, or we said it's kebeitza minus a quarter, which would be 3/4 of a beitza. Now, the problem they're having is that the beitzim that they're measuring don't match up to what we would have thought. So, for instance, in the case where we say chatzi pras, in terms of kav, should be 1/16 of a kav according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, or 1/12 of a kav according to Rabbi Shimon. Yet, when we go to measure that, and we say, okay, 1/12 of a kav should equal 2 beitzim, we're finding out that it's not exactly 2 beitzim. It takes more to fill it in. And that's what the Gemara or the Mishnah had a problem with, is that it doesn't turn out to be exactly. The beitzim are not matching. The relationship between the kabim and the beitzim is not exact. So once you get that to tumat ochlim, which is measured in beitzim, and where the beitzim actually matter, then we can't reinsert that back into the kabim of the Mishnah. And that is over here, what he says. How much is a shir chatzi prash? Beit beitzim chaser kima. Rabbi Yehuda says it's 2 beitzim minus a little. It's 2 beitzim that are, whether it's full or means expanded, or a little more. So it sounds like we have a problem here in the size of the beitzim. And Rabbi says that it's bet beitzim ve'od, that it's 2 beitzim plus. And the od is kama od echad mesrim be'beitzah. It's 1/20. So it's 1 1/20 of a beitzah equals what we should have gotten from a beitzah. So the problem is with the measurement of the beitzah, we're not getting a match. And since we don't get a match, the Mishnah didn't want to take it down to that level, because then we would come up with an inconsistency in the measurements. V'ilu gabei tumat ochlim tanyo, Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Dosa amru, kebeitza shamru, kamoa ukulipata. That a kebeitza that we say by tumat ochlim is it with its shell. Chamim amim, kamoa abalokipata. And the Chamim say it's an egg without its klipa. So now we have a mismatch. You're talking about a chatzi pras, which is 2 beitzim or 1.5 beitzim, whatever you want to call it. And there, they're telling you that the beitzim, it's not exactly 2 beitzim, it's 2 plus. Then they come and tell you about tumat ochlim, and they're telling you it's 1 beitzah. So 1 beitzah is not half of 2 and a little more. So that's where the problem is coming up, which is that you can't say half of chatzi pras equals tumat ochlim, because we're showing here that the measurement when you had chatzi pras is a little more than 2 beitzim, and when you have chatzi pras, which should come out to the equivalent of half of that 2 plus, is actually turning out to be a single beitzah without any addition. So there's a mismatch here, and therefore the Mishnah didn't want to get involved with it. So Amar Rafavam Bar Papa and Rav Chista, Zo Divrei Rav Yehuda v'Rav Yossi. That is the position of Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Chamimim, kebeitza umechsa tzochakot. That it's 1.5 beitzot, that are full beitzot, or open beitzot, wide beitzot. Man Chachamim, Rav Yochanan ben Broka. And who, of course, is the Chachamim, is Rav Yochanan ben Broka, because the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are saying 2 beitzim, which is following the position of Rabbi Shimon that chatzi pras is equal to 2 beitzim. But now he's saying, well, there's an argument, someone else disagrees. Who disagrees? That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, who says that chatzi pras is equal to 1.5 beitzim. So based on that, you have the two opinions, but in the end, your problem is when you get down to the lowest denominator here, which is chatzi pras, then if we were to take the chatzi pras and divide it in half, we're not going to get equal to a beitza. It's just a little more, because the chatzi pras is a little more than 2 beitzim, and we're not getting exact measurements, and that's why we're going to deal with it. So Gemara says, pshita, of course that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Who else would it have been that says that a chatzi pras is equal to 1.5 beitzim? So Gemara says, sochakot ato liyashmina. It comes to tell us about these sochakot, that the measurements are done in a manner that is breadth, open, or the wider beitzim, or the larger beitzim. Alright, now we move on. Piyatar of the Amar, Shiger Bonius the Rabbi, Modaya de Kundis, de Minu Usa. So, remember, Abdimi is someone who travels back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. So he's bringing a story from Eretz Yisrael, which involves Rabbi. Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, and he's telling the people in Bavel what happened. He says that Bonius, this individual, brought before Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael this Modaya de Kundis, which was a measure of a Sa'ah in this place called Neosa. So that was the size of a sa'ah, or they had a measuring cup now that was the size of a sa'ah, and he brought it before Rebbe. V'shir Rebbe. And Rebbe wanted to figure out what it was. How much is this? Matan v'shvasre behin. Figured out that was 217 eggs that fit into this. Where it says, ha-se'ah de-heicha. Which se'ah is this? So now, as background again to this, we have to know that there were three measurement locations. There's the Midbar, Yerushalayim, and Tzipori. And over time, they changed the actual measurements. There was a measurement in Midbar, let's call it a sa'ah. When they came to Yerushalayim, higdilu et ha-sa'ah shtut. They added on a sixth. That sixth is the equivalent of a sixth mila bar, which is equivalent to one-fifth mila gav. That means they increased it 20%. And when I say they increased it 20%, that means that the size of the measurement went up 20%. So if before you had a cup that held a sa'ah, the cup that now holds the sa'ah is 20% bigger now. Sa'ah is a measure of volume, and so the volume is now increased 20% inside of this measuring cup. That means if you took the old sa'ah and you poured it into the new sa'ah, it would fill up 5/6 of the new sa'ah, and that's why it's called to increase it by a sixth, because it only gets 5/6. Then when they came to Tzipori, they increased it by 20% again. The size of the measuring cup was increased 20% again. That means that if you took a sa'ah from Yerushalayim and poured it into a sa'ah from Tzipori, it would fill 5/6 of the sa'ah Tzipori. So the measurements were increased 20% twice. Now as far as the Midbar, we'll give the measurements of the Midbar. That is, the Midbar, a sa'ah in the Midbar, as we saw before, equals 6 kav. A kav equals 4 log, and a log equals 6 beitzim. So if I take a sa'ah that's 6 kav, 4 log is 24 log in a sa'ah, times 6 beitzim that are in a log, it's 24 times 6, it's 144 beitzim. So there are 144 beitzim inside of a sa'ah midbarit. Now, when they increased the dry measures, this is what you were asking, Fred, a little bit, they increased the sa'ah, but they didn't increase the beitzim. The beitzah, which is, you know, measured by an egg, the egg didn't change sizes. The egg in Tzipori wasn't 20% bigger. Whatever egg they were using, the Benoni egg, that was the standard egg that they were using. So there's 20% more eggs in a sa'ah Yerushalmit than Midbarit, and there's 20% more eggs from Tzipori from Yerushalmit. So in measured in eggs, the sa'ah actually changed. The sa'ah, which is supposedly a standard measurement because it increased in size, it now has more beitzim in it. This is important because you'll see it now, it'll make it easier for the rest of the Gemara, what we just explained. Rabbi takes a cup and he says, I get 217 beitzim inside of this sa'ah. Where did he get such a sa'ah? The sa'ah midbar is 144 beitzim. So now if I want to increase that by 20%, the result is 28.8 eggs, which is 172.8 would be the number. The Gemara is going to round it off to 173, but it's 172.8. Rashi does the calculation by breaking the numbers down into 142, into 100, 40, and 4. If you take 100, 20% of 100 is 20, 20% of 40 is 8, and then the 20% less 4 is 0.8, but he measures it in beitzim. And he says it's a fraction, that there are 4/5. So he adds it up, and you get 172 and 0.8. Then they increased it another 20% when they went to Tzipori. So now, if you take their number, it depends. If you use the number that they're using, or if you use, if it's 172.8 and you increase 20%, it's 207.36. But if you use the 173 number, then it's 34.6, which gets you 207.6. But if you measure it from the 172.8, you'll get a fraction that's less than half, and therefore it's 207. So the Gemara is going to use the numbers 144, 173, and 207. Why is that important? Because Rebbe just measured a sa'ah and he got 217 beitzim. So Gemara wants to know, what is it? Doesn't match Midbar, which is 144 beitzim. Doesn't match Yerushalayim, 173 beitzim. Doesn't match Tzipori, 207 beitzim. Where is Rebbe coming up with this sa'ah that has 217 beitzim in it? All right, with that introduction, we'll move through the Gemara. So Gemara says here, he finds this, Rebbe Matan Vishvasre Bein. Hasa Dehecha. Where did he find, what type of sa'ah is this? Ede Midbarit. If it was a sa'ah from the Midbar, Kufman Dalet Avyo, it was 144. Idu Shalmit, if it was Yerushalmi sa'ah, it's 173 beitzim, roughly, Avyo. Vidi Tziporit, Reish Zayin Avyo, again, roughly 207 beitzim. You're still short of the 217 that Rebbe came up with. So Gemara says, Olam did Tziporit. It's for Tziporit. Aita Chauta Shadi Alayu. They took the amount that would be included in Chala, and that was included in that sa'ah. So chalta kama havyon. How much is chala on this amount? Tamne. That's 8. Now, I will tell you this. I don't think the calculation is correct because What you would really do is, you would start with 217, multiply that by 1/24th, which is the amount of challah, and that's what you would remove from the 217 to get down to the 207. The way the Gemara deals with it is it takes the 207 and says, what's 1/24th of 207? That's kedei chalata, which is wrong, because if you're building backwards, you start with a larger amount and you're taking off 1/24th, it's the wrong way to do it. You really should divide by 23/24 to get to the number, the whole number. The Gemara doesn't do it that way. They multiply by 24, divide by 23, that would give you the number. So the Gemara takes this 207 and says, well, if I divide it by 24, I get 8. Again, 8 is a rough number. It's really not 8. It's more than 8, but it's 8 plus. Rashi keeps saying, well, they're dropping it because it's less than a half. Since it's less than a half, they're going to drop it. So if I take the 8, which is 1/24th of 207, 8 times 24 is 160 plus 32 is 192. And then you have the remainder, which doesn't equal up to a whole 15/24, doesn't equal up to a whole. Well, if I take 8 and I subtract it from 217, I'm still at 209. And I need to get down to 207. Or let's do it the other way. 207 plus 8 only gets me to 215, and I need to get to 217. So that doesn't help me. This kedei chalata is not solving my problem. And that's what the Gemara says. It says, have time in heaven, akati batzirle, you're still short. El aiti ba'odot rabbi. And Shadi Alayo, bring the odot to Rabbi. Remember, Rabbi said a beitzah is really a beitzah plus 1/20th. So a beitzah is really 1.05 of a beitzah. If I add up those odot, then I get more. If I was to increase the amount by 5%, I would end up with too much. Gemara says, oh, since it's not a beitzah, we don't count it. So what the Gemara does in the end, it says, okay, if I take the 5% extra of Rabbi, then I can get to the 217, which is if I take 207 and I multiply it by the extra 5% that Rabbi says, he says 1/20th per beitzah extra. If I do that, add on 5%, 5% of 207 is 10.35. So 10.35, I add it to 207, it gets me to 217.35. So that's still above what I needed. The Gemara says, okay, but that's less, that's a rounding error. So it's 217. So our answer in the end is that...
And without the challah.
Yeah, without the challah. We're dropping challah now. If you keep the challah and the odot, then you get way too high. So it's obvious that he's not keeping the challah in. They drop the challah, and then they move on, and they say, let's do it through Rabbi's addition. He says that a beitzah is really 1.05. It's 5% greater than what a beitzah really is, 1/20th extra per beitzah. If you do that, and you add on 5% to a sa'ah that has 207 beitzim in it, you end up with 217 beitzim. Because the chatzi pras is really 1.05 of a beitzah. That means a beitzah is smaller than we thought. If a beitzah is smaller than we thought, 217 of them are going to fit in, not 207. And that's the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara leaves. Rashi says over here that there's rounding errors and it's all less. The truth is, if you start adding up all the rounding errors, you end up with whole numbers, and it does come up above. It's not so simple that they're dropping these numbers. Then, Tan Rabbanan. Sa'ah Yerushalmit Yeterah Midbarit Shtut. This is what we discussed before. The Sa'ah in Yerushalayim was 1/6 greater than that of Midbar, which in truth means that it's 1/5 greater. 1/6 means that the bar. The Sa'ah Midbar fits into 5/6 of Yerushalmi. Then, Vishal Tziporit is Yeterah Yerushalmit Shtut. It grows another 1/6 above the Yerushalmit. Again, that means 20% more, 1/5 more. Means that 5/6 of a Tziporit would fit a Yerushalmit into it. Nimtzeit shel tziporit yeterah midbarit shlish. That means that the tziporit is 1/3 greater than the midbarit, which is not true. Doesn't work. Right? Shlish deman. 1/3 of what is it greater than? Ilem shlish de midbarit. If you're saying it's 1/3 of a midbarit, michde. Let's think about a shlish de midbarit. What is a shlish de midbarit? Remember, a midbarit had 144 beitzim inside of it. What's 1/3 of? 144 is 48. So that's 48 beitzim. If I take 144 plus 48, I end up with 192. 192 is not the number we're trying to get to, so certainly that can't be the reference point over here. And that's what the Gemara says. Shmichte shlish to midbarit kami havin arbin vitamyo. It's 48. Vilo odfa shitin vitlat. And we know that the increase between the midbarit to the tziporit is 63 beitzim. 207 is the number of beitzim that fit into a tziporit. 144 is the midbarit, so 207 minus 144 is 63. So we need an increase of 63 beitzim. You've only come up with 48 beitzim, so that can't be the reference. The 1/3 can't be referenced against the midbarit. Ella shlish to Yerushalmit. It's 1/3 more of the Yerushalmit. How many beitzim were in Yerushalmi? We said before it was 173 beitzim. What's 1/3 of 173? That is 57 2/3. 57 2/3 beitzim. Again, 57 2/3 beitzim, when you add it on to the 144, doesn't get you where you want. It only gets you to 201 2/3. So that's what the Gemara says here. Dida kama havyan. What's 1/3 of the Yerushalmi? Chamshin v'tamya. 58. Nachiplata minus 1/3, which is what we said. It was 57 2/3. They determined as 58 minus 1/3. V'ilu odfa shitinu tlat. Again, we're still trying to reach 63. Ela de tzipori. It's 1/3 of the tzipori. Well, tzipori, we said before, is 207. What is 1/3 of 207? 1/3 of 207 is 69. So that's what the Gemara terms over here. Ela shlish de tzipori shlish de dakami shivin nachichada. 70 minus 1, which is the equivalent of 69. And we know we need 63. When we need 63. So what is the reference of this 1/3? It's saying that Tzipori is 1/3 greater than the Midbarit. 1/3 of what greater than the Midbarit? El Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Hachi Kamar. Nimsei Sashel Tzipori Yetera Midbarit Karov L'Shlish Shela. It turns out that the Sat Tzipurit is greater than that of the Midbarit, close to 1/3 of itself. 1/3 of itself would be 69 versus the 63, that is the increase. U'Shlish Shera Karov L'Mechzad De Midbarit. And 1/3 of the Tziporit is close to half of the Midbarit, which is 69 times 2 is 138 versus the 144 that's there. So he says these are rough numbers. So Matkifla Ravina, Mide Karov, Karov, Tani. Where did you see the word Karov in here? There was no word Karov. That Braita that we had before was giving you exact measurements. What is this Karov business? Karov doesn't help you. Just because you say it's close, that doesn't help you. When you deal with measurements, you need exactitude because you need to know what the references are. El Amar Ravina Achikamar. Nimseis Shlish Shel Tziporit Viva'odio Shel Rebbe Yetera Amechsa Shel Midarit Shlish Beitza. So here he says, got a convoluted type of calculation. He says, well, let's take 1/3 of its Tziporit. 1/3 of its Tziporit is 69. Right, we said that before, 1/3 is 69. Now, if we add on to that, the odiot, 5% of Rabbi, what's 5% is an additional 3.45, which is the equivalent of 72.45. So it's 72.45 versus the half of the Midbarit would be 72. So that's what it says over here, that you do this calculation, turns out to be a shlish beitzah greater than that of the Midbar. Now, to be honest, the number that they come out with, estimate that they use, we came out, the exact number is 69, then 72.45. For their purposes, they turned it out to be 72 1/3. And that's based on using the number of 217 that Rabbi had and dividing it by 3, you get 72 1/3. And that's what it's meant by that 1/3 of Tzipori with the 20% addition using 217 as that estimate divided by 3 ends up being Terah Mechsa Shel Midbarit Shlish Beitzah. It's 1/3 of a Beitzah above that because it's 72 1/3 versus the half of the Midbarit would be 72. Right, half of the Midbarit would be 72. You take that, it's 1/3, it's 1/3 difference. So the real math turns out to be 0.45. The way that they calculate turns out to be 1/3. So if you take half of 144 is 72, and we come out with a number when you add in the extra 5% to 72 1/3, that means that 1/3 of a beitzah greater than half of the Midbarit. And that's the calculation that he's stipulating here. So Tanur Banan. I'll move on a little more math to finish off here. Reshit Arisotechem. This is the first of your dough you have to give to the Kohen. Kedei arisotechem. Kama arisotechem. How much is an arisa? Meaning that you have to give challah from an arisa. Arisa is dough. What is the size of dough that obligates you in challah? Mar says that it's kedei arisotechem, the amount that you normally bake. Well, what's the normal amount you normally bake? That is, we have in the Torah, gives us that information, Parshat B'Shalach, which is kama isotechem. Kedei isat amidbar. It's similar to the isan amidbar, which is kama isat midbar. And what's the size of the dough in the midbar? Tichtei ba'omer asiyat ha'efahu. Tells us that the omer is the 1/10 of an efah. So the omer is 1/10 of an efah. And because of that, we know what the size of this is. Now that's not so simple because we don't know what the measurement in efah is. Then the Gemara Menachot deals with that. And through Psukim in Yechezkel, it comes to the conclusion that an Eifah is 3 sa'ah. And therefore, 1/10 of that amount, which is the Omer, which is a Sirit Eifahui, would be 1/10 of the 3 sa'ah. It would be 10% of an Eifah, which is the equivalent of 10% of 3 sa'ah, or 0.3 of a sa'ah. Now, a sa'ah we saw before was 6 kaf. So when you take this 6 kaf, that would be 0.3 times 6 kaf is 1.8 kaf. So that's 1.8 kaf is the size of the dough that you need to be chayav in challah. Here, the Gemara expresses it in logim. Remember that a kav equals 4 log. So if you express it in logim, 1.8 a kav, the equivalent in logim or in quarters, basically, which is what they're asking you to do, is 7/4. Is 1 3/4 plus od, that little extra. Because we said it was 1.8. So that gets you 1 3/4, which is 1.75. And the od is that 0.05 that gets you to the 1.8. So that's the amount that it takes it. Now, when you go to the Yerushalmi, they increased it by a sixth. Or basically, you multiplied it by 1 1/5. So if I take 1.8 and multiply that by 5/6, 1.8 divided by 6 is 0.3, times 5 is 1.5. So you end up with 1.5 kav yushalmiot. The resultant amount is what they say now is vav yushalmiot. It's 6/4, or the equivalent of 1.5 kav. If I increase the size of your measure by 20%, then 1.8 kav of the old will fit into 1.5 of the new. Now, if I take that 1.5 kav, and again, 1.5 kav is equivalent to 6 log, or 6 log is divided by 4. So it's 6/4, which is 1.5. Then I move to Tzipori, I increase it by 20% again. So I take the 1.5 kav that I have in Shalmi, and then I increase it to what I need in Tzipori, by 20% again. And again, if you multiply the 1.5 by 5/6, you'll end up with 1 1/4, 1.25 kav. 6/4 down to 5/4 or 1.25. 1.25 kav in Tzipori, and that's the equivalent of 5/4 of a log, which is the equivalent of 1 1/4 kav. And that's what the Gemara lays out here. You want to know what you're chayv and chala for? Starting in the Midbar. Starting in the Midbar, we have an Eifa. A Isa in the Midbar is an Omer. An Omer is 1/10 of an Eifa. An Eifa is equal to 3 sa'ah. And 3 sa'ah, each sa'ah is equal to 6 kav or 18 kav. So a 1/10 of that is 1.8 kav. Or, again, we saw over here that it's 7 plus over 4 in Lugin. Lugin are 4, so you're just adding, doing over 4 instead of doing it through a decimal point. Then we move to Yerushalmi and increase it by 20%, it becomes 1.5 kav, or the equivalent of 6/4 or 6 rivei log. And then we move with 20% up again, it equals to 1.25 of the kavin in Tzipori, which is the equivalent of 5/4 of a log. And that's the measurements that the Gemara gives us here. Mikan amru, zayin ravim va'od, kemach va'od, chayevet b'chala, that's the 1.8. Shein vav yushamiyot, which is the 1.5 kav. Shein hei shel tzipori, which is the 1.25 kav. Mikan amru, hochel megidazu. Anybody eats this amount, or is it bari umivurach? That's healthy, and that's blessed. Blessed because you're going to take off chala from it, you're going to make a bracha on it, and so on. Yeter al kain, if you eat more than that, rabatan, person's a glutton, eats too much, pachot nikan, mekalkel b'me'av. If he eats less than that, it's not sufficient. There's too much room in his stomach and it bounces around. It's not good for your digestive system. Anshei chatzer v'anshei mirpeset sheshachachu v'lo irvu. Yeah, people live on the ground floor and enter or exit into the chatzer. Yeah, people live on the second floor that have a mirpeset, that have a balcony on top to which they empty out. Sheshachachu v'lo irvu. The balcony itself empties out into the chatzer. So they could have joined together, but they didn't. But each one of them has an Eruv independently. So the Bnei HaChatzer have their own Eruv, and the Bnei Mirpeset have their own Eruv. So it turns out that the Bnei HaChatzer can carry in the Chatzer, the people who live on the base level, and the people who live upstairs can carry on the Mirpeset, because there's a ladder between them. And remember, we learned before that a ladder acts as a petach, like a doorway, the Kula and the Chumra, which means that if they want to be separate, they can be separate. If they want to be together, they can be together. So here they chose to be separate by the fact that they didn't make a single Eruv. So anybody upstairs can carry in the Merpeset, anybody downstairs can carry in the Chatzer. The question is, things that are found in the Chatzer, they're accessible to both of them, who do they belong to? Because they can't belong to both of them, otherwise they are be a surin. So who do they belong to? And this is where the Mishnah lays it out for us. Kol shigvoa yutzfachim, anything that's above 10 tefachim in the chatzer, lir mirpeset. We grant that to the people of the mirpeset because it's easier for them to utilize. It's within their range of utility. Pachot mikan, anything that's less than 10 tefachim, lechatzer. We give that to the chatzer because that's within their normal range of utility and it makes more sense for them to utilize it. Chuliata bor vasela. If you have a bore, a pit that was dug out, and then you put the dirt that you dug out around the rim of that bore, you filled it in, so now it grows high. Gvoin asarat tvachim. If it's now 10 tvachim high, we grant that to the merpeset. Pachot mikan, the chatzer. If it's less than that, it belongs to the chatzer. This is a qualification of all that we said before, that it belongs to merpeset. That's mismucha. That's when every item is close to the merpeset. Just because it's high doesn't mean that it's easier for the merpeset to use it. It's only easier for the merpeset to use it when it's high and close to them. But if it's far away, then they're going to have to throw things over there. It doesn't make so much sense. Then we're going to say it belongs to the chatzer. If it's further away, even if it's 10 tfachim high, chatzer, it belongs to the chatzer. Basically, smucha, what is called being close and what's called being far away? Within 4 tfachim, it's considered to be close to merpeset. So if it's within 4 tfachim to the merpeset and 10 tfachim high, we grant them the sole rights to utilize that on Shabbat, and then the chatzer is precluded. And the other way around, if it's more than 4 tfachim away, even if it's 10 tfachim high, or if it's less than 10 tfachim high, we grant sole rights to the chatzer to utilize it, and the people on the merpeset can't utilize it at all. Mer says, pshita. So now the Mer lays this out. L'zeh petach u'l'zeh petach. If each person has a doorway to access a certain location, there are two people who have equal access to a location, they both have a doorway that enters into it. Hainu, chalon, shemben, shtei chatzerot. So that is the equivalent to a window that is between two chatzerot. So depending on the size of the window, then it would matter what happens here. If it's a makom tour, then they can both utilize it. If it's a makom reshut that has 4 tvachim to it, and the reshut bifnei atzmo, then both parties are asurim to utilize it. You can go up there, they can both climb up there and utilize it, but they can't both take things from their chatzer, their area, and place it in there. But here, where it's equal utility or equal access, we say it's asur. So if you have equal access, which means you both have doorways going in there, and the definition of a doorway is whatever tashmish noach, means that it's easy to access. Doorway doesn't necessarily literally mean doorway, it just means that we have equal access and equal ease of access to a certain place. If that's the case, we share the rights to that place, and we have equal ease of utility, that means it's asur on Shabbat if we didn't make an eruv, because there's no reason to give it to one party over the other. Now we move on to the next case. The zeb zrika, the zeb zrika. Both of them have difficulty of access. The zrika is something that's difficult to get to. So when it's difficult to get to, that we call either zrika, it's above ground, or shilshul, to lower it down when it's below ground. So that means that it's not of ease of access. So over here, if both parties have a difficult time getting there, hainu koto shemben bet chatzerot. That is the equivalent to a wall between bet chatzerot, which we saw before. If it's narrow, the wall, and it's a makom tour, then both parties can put things up there and take them down. Was a machloket Rav and Shmuel. Actually, when it's less than 4 tefachim, we paskin that it's a makom tour, and you can put things up, take things down to each side, as long as you don't exchange between them. If it's more than 4 tefachim, you can only use what's on top, but you can't bring from either chatzer on top of the wall. So when it's difficulty of usage, then we both can go up there and utilize that area, but we cannot move things from our chatzer, our area, up to there. Whenever we have equal access, bottom line is, nobody gets to use it when we have that joint access, whether it's equal in ease or equal in difficulty. Now, the zeh b'shulshul or the zeh b'shulshul, hainu charitz, sheben bet chatzerot. If both of them utilize it by lowering down, by using a rope or lowering down into that area, that's equivalent to having a ditch between two chatzerot. We saw before, has the same din as a wall. Between two chatzerot, if it's 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide, then neither party can use it. The zeb petach or the zeb zrika, if one of them has a doorway in and the other one has to throw, again, not literally a doorway, not literally throwing, it means that if one of them is easy to access and it's ease of use, and the other one has a difficult time using that space, hainu d'rabba bar Rav Huna. That's equivalent, we saw Rabba bar Rav Huna before, in the case where you had a wall between two chatzerot, and one of the chatzerot was on plateau, on the same plane as the top of the wall. The other chatzer was below the wall. So there we say we grant the rights to the one who's level with the top of the wall. Now level with the top of the wall just means you're less than 10 tefachim away from the top of the wall, so it's easy for to use. Whoever has ease of access, we grant them sole rights to that area. So same thing over here. If one of them has access to a petach, one through zrika, we're going to grant the sole rights to the one who has ease of access over here, because that makes sense. They have an easy time using it, they're more likely to use it, and if we grant them rights, they'll be mutar on Shabbat. If we don't, then both of them are going to be asurim on Shabbat. L'zeh b'petach l'zeh b'shulshul, haino d'Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Nachman. In a case where one of them is level, or ease of access, one of them has to lower it down. That's the equivalent of the statement of Rav Shizvi and Rav Nachman, which we saw before again. If you have two chatzerot near a ditch, and one of them is level with the ditch, and one of them is above the ditch. So the one that's above the ditch has difficulty accessing or utilizing it. The one that's closer to the bottom of the ditch, which means less than 10 tefachim away from the bottom of the ditch, they get the rights, the sole rights to utilize on Shabbat, because again, it makes more sense to grant them those rights, and then it'll be mutar. So good. We got down all these things. Where we have equal access, we know. Zepetach, zepetach. Zezrika, zezrika, we understand. Where we have difference in access, one has easy access, one has difficult access, again, we have an easy answer to that. Easy access gets sole rights to it. We have all the answers to this. The question now becomes, b'shezeh b'shilshul v'lezeh b'zrika. They both have difficult access, but different type of difficulty. One of them can access it through throwing, and one of them can access it through dropping down or lowering into it. What's the din there? It says, Amarav Shnehem Asurim. Rav says they're both Asurim, because they're both equally difficult in their access. So they have an equality, that equality makes it Asurim. Shmuel Amar, Notim Oto, Lezeh B'Shil Shul. We give it to one who can lower it down. Shelezeh Tashmisho B'Nacha, Lezeh Tashmisho B'Kasheh. It's much easier to work with things when you're lowering them down into it than to throw things. Throwing things, you have less accuracy and less ease of use. If you actually lower things down, you can pull them up where there's a base to it. There we think it's easier access. So this is their, they are both in relationship to easy access, they're both difficult. That is Shilshul and Zrika are difficult. But in relationship to each other, Shmuel now says they're not equal. Zrika is more difficult than Shilshul. So if I have a hierarchy, I have Petach, which is the ease of access, then I have Shilshul, which is the next more difficult, and then Zrika, which is the worst. And because of that, we'll grant it to the one who has access through Shilshul. Anytime we have, this is the principle we've laid out already, anytime you have one person who has easy access, one has difficult access, we grant the access, or we grant the rights and Shabbat to the one who has easy access. It's not our Mishnah, which is why it's brought over here, our Mishnah. They didn't make an Eruv together. Pachot mikan lechatzer. Anything that's above 10 tefachim or 10 tefachim above goes to the mirpeset to utilize. Pachot mikan lechatzer. Anything below that goes to the chatzer. Because al kadatcha my mirpeset. What we're thinking now, what is the mirpeset? Bnei aliyah. That means from the people who live up above. They live way above. Vamai karulu mirpeset. So why do they call them the mirpeset people? If they're actually working with this from in their houses, they're in their houses that are upstairs. The kasalko mirpeset. That's how they get out. They go from their house. They go from their houses into the mirpeset and out. So, for the people in the chatzer, 10 tefachim high is through zrika, through throwing. For the people upstairs, how do they deal with the item that's 10 tefachim high? They have to do it through shoshul. They have to lower it into it. They don't have direct access. They're not level with it. They're above the level of that item, so they lower it down. And our Mishnah says it goes to the Bnei Merpeset. It goes to the people upstairs. So that's like Shmuel, which is saying that when you have a competition between Shilshul and Zrika, we grant it to the Shilshul. So then the Gemara says, "Kamar Rav Huna." No, Rav Huna says no proof from here. Lo Tana Darim Merpeset. Hachinami Lo Tana Darim Merpeset. We're not talking about those people that live upstairs in the Aliyah, but those people that literally live on the Merpeset. They're on the Merpeset itself. The Merpeset itself is actually 10 tefachim off the ground. So now when I have an item in the chatzer that's 10 tefachim high, it's level with the Merpeset. So the Mishnah is talking about a case not between Shoshul and Zrika, but rather between Petach and Zrika. For the chatzer, it's now Zrika, because you have to go up 10 tefachim. For those people on the Merpeset, they're 10 tefachim off the ground. They're level with this item. That means it's Kamil Petach. It's like ease of use. It's not about Shoshul. So now I don't have any proof from that. So Gemara says, if that's the case, Yochiyem Aseifa. What are you going to do with the letter after the Mishnah? Pachot Mikan. If it's less than 10 tefachim, v'chatzer, it goes to the chatzer. Amai. Why is that the case? L'zeh b'petach, v'l'zeh b'petach. Because for both of them, then, it is somewhat of ease of access. From the chatzer, it's up. So you say, from base of the chatzer, whatever the number is, say it's 5 tefachim off the ground. For the merpes, it's 5 tefachim below them. They have the same equal access to it. So Gemara says, my lechatzer. What does it mean we grant it to the chatzer? Af lechatzer. We don't grant it solely to the chatzer when it's less than tefachim. We grant it to both parties, even to the chatzer. You would have thought it all goes to the merpeset. No, it goes even to the chatzer. Shnehem asurim. And that makes them both asurim. Hachanami mistavra. That makes sense to read the Mishnah that way. Miktani seifa. The last piece of the Mishnah where the qualifier is, mamedra, mismucha, when it's close by. If it's more than 4 tefachim away, even if it's more than 10 tefachim high, it's the chatzer. My lechatzer, what does it mean it's for the chatzer? If you say it's for the chatzer, it's mutar, amai. Why should it be mutar? Reshuta de dervayu. It belongs to both of them. Elamayla chazer, af le chazer. When we say chazer, we mean also to the chazer and shnehem asurin. Hachanami, mayla chazer. So too, in the earlier part of the mission, what does it mean to the chazer? Af le chazer, o shnehem asurim. And therefore, they are both asurim. So even according to Shmuel, in this last case in the Mishnah, you have to say that the chazer means af le chazer. Because here, you have an object that is above 10 tefachim, but it's far away from the mirpeset. So in that case, for the people in the chatzer, they use it derech zrika. For the people on the mirpeset, they have to use it derech shulshul, but they also have to do what's called zrikat mashach. They have to throw it out to that object and then down. In that case, even Shmuel agrees that it's a zeh kasheh and zeh kasheh. It's difficult for both of them to utilize that. If that's the case, then neither should be mutar. So why does the Mishnah say chatzer in this last case? It must mean af le chatzer. Means not the chatzer, but also for the chatzer. And if that case, the mirpeser or the aliyah and the chatzer are equal in that way, and that means that shnehem masurim, even according to Shmuel. So just like for Shmuel, in this last case in the Mishnah, it means af le chatzer, so too, for Rav, we can explain like Rav Huna says in that previous case, that the chatzer means af le chatzer, and shnehem asurim. So too, Rav can explain that case, where it's pachot mi'asara, and we grant it to the chatzer, that doesn't literally mean to the chatzer, it also means af le chatzer, so also to the chatzer. So even though these people are on the mirpeset, and it should be easy for them to use it, it should be like a petach for them, nevertheless, we are oser it, because the people on the chatzer and the people on the mirpeset have equal access to it, and the word chatzer that means af le chatzer, the same way that Shmuel would have to explain that last case in the Mishnah as being af le chatzer. And that's Rav l'shitato, because when it is less than 10 tefachim off the ground, the people in Repeset are using it b'shilshul, the people in the Chatzer are using it b'zrika, and that means shnehem asurim, the way that Rav holds. So Rav Huna, who's a Talmud of Rav, explains the Mishnah to reconcile with the position of Rav, and obviously Shmuel read the Mishnah as a proof to his position, which is that in the case where it's shilshul versus zrika, we granted the people have the shilshul, but when it's a case where shilshul is no longer relevant, because the item is far away, then we say af le chatzer. So from there you can conclude you can't prove anything about shulshul versus zrika from our Mishnah, because the case in the Mishnah is not a case of shulshul and zrika, and therefore it's petach versus zrika, and petach versus zrika we already know the answer to, and that doesn't prove anything or doesn't necessarily support Shmuel, because Rav Huna, a Talmud of Rav, explains the Mishnah in a way that it doesn't cause a problem for Rav. Basically, it can reconcile with Rav, which is that we don't have a competition between shulshul and zrika here. Once we've already established that it's the merpeset, the people in the merpeset who are only 10 tefachim off the ground, we have to explain the remainder of the Mishnah, that when we say chatzer in the remainder of the Mishnah, it doesn't mean to the chatzer and not to the merpeset, it means to both parties, even to the chatzer, and in that case, shnehem atzurim, they will both be asurim. Okay, we'll stop over here.